Living Podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You know, I really love these Old Testament stories. You know, they're God stories, especially the ones about battles. Now, I don't know about you, but I love hearing about battles through history. They do it for me. You know, how they're fought, how they were won. Now, today I'm going to talk about a man named Jehoshaphat. He became king of Judah at the age of 35 when his father Asa had died. And he reigned for 25 years. Now, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, to give you kind of an introduction here. Because in his early years, he walked in the way of his fathers, King David. And Jehoshaphat, he didn't consult the Baals of the time. He didn't go to the false gods and do all this praying and cutting himself and all that good things. No, but he sought the God of his father and followed God's commands rather than the practices of Israel. Now, Jehoshaphat, he did attain great wealth through the years, but he made some mistakes along the way. But one of the mistakes Jehoshaphat made was he teamed up with Ahab and went into battle with him at Ahab's suggestion. Big mistake he made. Because Jehoshaphat was good, but he had weaknesses for the world. He was intrigued by Ahab and Jezebel. Of all the people to look up to and want to be with and want to get close to, Ahab and Jezebel. We all know about Jezebel. We know about Ahab. He even married into the family. That's how intrigued he was with them. And he fought with Ahab against Ramoth-Gilead at Ahab's request, even though it was against the advice of a prophet that they had asked, Micaiah. We're going to win? All of Ahab's guys said, oh, yeah, go, king, you're going on, going on. The one, they said, there's one prophet. Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from a prophet of God. There's one, but he always talks bad about me. Well, go get him. So they did. And he got back, and Ahab asked him, am I going to be victorious? As you say, king, how many times do I have to tell you to tell me what God says? Am I going to be victorious? Nah, you're not going to make it. See there, I told you he didn't talk nothing good about me. But Jehoshaphat, like us, he went anyway. I said us, that's you and me. Sometimes we don't listen. And he went into battle. And Ahab told Jehoshaphat to, you know, you go ahead and wear your royal clothes. I'm going to disguise myself so I can go fight with my people because we're just going to tear them up. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'd heard that and I was Jehoshaphat, I'd say, what you talking about, Willis? What do you mean want me to go out looking like the king and you're a regular soldier? No, but he did. And his enemy, King Aram, he had 32 mighty warriors, kind of like ninjas. And their main goal during this battle was to go find King Ahab and kill him. So here we are fighting. And all of a sudden they see this chariot, see this clothes. And they think, okay, it's him, let's go. So they start rushing out, you know, rushing towards the chariot. Ahab sees, oh, Lord, what are they? No, help me, Lord. And their eyes were open and they saw that it wasn't Ahab. So they left and went on. Now, throughout all this fighting, Ahab actually got shot with an arrow by a random arrow. And later on died that night. And the army was routed. King of Israel was dead. But Jehoshaphat left. He made it back to Jerusalem. God was still with him because he would bring the people back. He had already brought some people back. He encountered a problem when a vast army was headed his way. As he got back to Jerusalem, he was told, you've got this army coming. Now, you can turn a problem into an opportunity to pray and praise God, because that's what Jehoshaphat's going to do. And that opportunity is just a few steps away. He prayed a prayer that moved the heart of God and had an effect on that army just like a nuclear bomb going off. So let's learn from him the power of prayer. You know, prayer is a curious thing. We love to hear kids pray. I do. Just because of what they say. They say the things that we probably want to say, but we wouldn't do it. Dear God, could you please give my brother some brains? Because right now he doesn't have any. I'm not saying nothing about this here. That'd be one of them. Or heard this one. Thank you for the nice day today. You even fooled the weatherman, God. And I really like this. Please help me in school, Lord. I need some help in spelling, math, history. Yeah, geography. Oh yeah, and writing. I've got everything else covered. Just give me some help in that, Lord. We all give our kids allowances when they're young, hopefully. And if not, that's okay too. But Lord, I need a raise in my allowance. Can you send one of your angels to come and tell my dad? Because he's not listening to me. And I'm saying my prayers for me and my brother Billy, because Billy's only 6 months old, and all he knows how to do is sleep and wet his diapers. Can you help us out? And then at dinner one night, this five-year-old is saying grace. Lord, thank you for these pancakes. Amen. And his mom and dad look at him kind of puzzled. Pancakes? You know we're having chicken. Why did you say pancakes? Oh, I just want to see if God was really paying attention tonight. It happens. It happens. But prayer moves the heart of God. Let's look at verse 1 through 4 in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. Now, after this, the Moabites, Ammonites, with some of the Midianites, lots of ites in there, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, the other side of the sea. It's already in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Now alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, just like we do when we have problems, right? Not the first thing we do. Lord help us. And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Glory. Now, I want to share with you today 6 steps to remember when you're in a battle like Jehoshaphat with insurmountable odds. Step 1, seek God. Seek God. Now, Jehoshaphat and he counted a big problem. This was a vast army was approaching. And to put it in perspective, not one, not two, but 3 armies, an alliance. Most of us here know football, right? We kind of know a little bit about football. We know about the Broncos in their heyday, amen? Yeah. Okay. I didn't hear nothing out of this table here, but that's all right. Now, when they were good, it would be like them going against all 3 of their division rivals, the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Now, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are hard enough to stop when there's just 11 of them, but imagine having, he's got 22 more people on his side to block and throw the ball to. No way, I'll guarantee you that the Broncos are going to win. I don't care how good they are. And this is what Jehoshaphat's looking at. He's thinking, man, there's no way with this big army. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But he's got this army coming at him. And they're readying themselves for battle against him and his people. Now, one time we read in chapter 17, at the end of it, that Jehoshaphat had 960,000 soldiers, not counting the ones he had set up in all the cities of Judah. So that's got to be well over probably 1 million soldiers. So imagine the size of this army coming against him if he's alarmed, as the NIV says. And they were only 25 miles away at En Gedi. Now, at first, he didn't see a solution. I'm glad. Has this ever happened to any of us here? We've got a problem, and we just can't see a way out. Maybe you feel that way today. Maybe you've got something going on today, but just wait, because we're about to see how that problem, your problem, his problem, is going to be a blessing in disguise. And one of the first things we need to do when we have a problem, seek God, seek the Lord. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He didn't turn to the, go down to his situation room and get his generals together and say, hey, boys, what are we going to do? No, he didn't do that. Or he didn't say, here's my idea, what y'all think? None of that happened. No, instead, the very first thing he did when trouble came was to inquire of the Lord, as we read. Now, we can come boldly to God's throne of mercy, as Jehoshaphat did. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy, find grace, and to help us in our time of need. Anybody in here need confidence today? That's every one of us, because there's a time or another when we're going to come and we just can't do it. So Jehoshaphat, he called for a fast for all of Judah, and the entire community, men, women, children, all came together to seek the Lord. Oh, what a time. Let's look at verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, this is his prayer, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence, before the temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came out of Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they're repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. My favorite part, but our eyes are on you, Lord. Whew, our eyes are on you. And all the children, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Oh, our eyes are on you. Now, step one was to seek God. Step two, know the one you're seeking. You got to know God. When you encounter a problem, it's helpful to look back over your shoulder at your past and see what God's done for you. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He told God, look what you've done and look what's happening. You know, God didn't save you just to abandon you. No, his name is I Am. Not I was. Amen? Yes. You've seen him work in your life in the past. Believe that he will do so in your future. Yes. If you know God, then you can trust him. He's able to bring something good out of every circumstance in your life. Romans 8:28. We all know it. We've all heard it. We've all said it. And we know that in some things, no. Just the small things, no. But we know in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Do you love God this morning?
Yes.
Then in all things, he's for you. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. You know, King Jehoshaphat, he embraced a promise from his past. He unashamedly poured out to the Lord that the enemy was trying to take away the possessions that God had given him. I mean, look here, you're not going to embarrass God by standing on his promises. When trouble comes, just do what old King Jay did. He reminded God of God's promise to Abraham, his friend. The army was going to drive them out of the land God had promised Abraham that they would possess. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, God had told Moses not to mess with these people when they came out of Egypt on their way to the promised land. He said, leave them alone. The Edomites were descendants of Esau, and the Ammonites and the Moabites were descendants of Lot. God had protected them from the Israelites, and Jehoshaphat was reminding God of this. You know, this is why your relationship with God is so important. Well, not just important, but vital. You've got to have that communication to know, to trust him, to know him, to say to him, God, this is what you promised. That didn't promise you you'd have riches, but he promised you his protection. So look back in your past and see how God has brought you this far. You know, he hadn't changed. Situations may change. Your money may change. Your family may change. But God never changes. He's for you. And knowing that he's for you and knowing God, you find a promise and hold on to it. Stand on it. Step one was seek God. Step two was know the one you're seeking. Now, step three, there it is. Be humble. I'm glad none of you here need a lesson in humility. Amen. King Jehoshaphat, he exposed his powerlessness. You know, he didn't strut around with a cocky attitude because he was king when he had all this coming at him. He didn't say, God, I deserve to be taken care of. Look what I've done. No, he didn't do any of that. Instead, he admitted that he didn't have the strength. He didn't have the resources, the knowledge of his own to overcome this enemy. He called out to God, we do not know what to do. Oh, but Lord, our eyes are on you. We're looking to you, God. Now that's a devotion to God. He knew God. Oh, that we'd be that way when trouble comes our way. Amen. You know, if you have your eyes solely on God when your trouble comes, then you don't have time to look at what the trouble is. Keep on with God. Let's pick it back up in verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. And he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Oh, here it is. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You ever heard that? Well, you should. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Here it is again. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And at hearing this, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They didn't say, oh, thank you, Lord, and let's go on to the next one. No, they stood up praising the Lord with a very loud voice. Every now and then, some of us may need to get loud. Amen? Yes. Oh, at times. So again, one was seek God. Two, know the one you're seeking. Three was to be humble. Step four, you got to believe the truth. We all hear truths, but do we believe it? Now, all of Judah looked to God, and he answered with the promise of victory. In verse 15, we read, Jehaziel said, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. I love this. For the battle's not yours, but God's. You know, it's just wonderful when the Holy Spirit just takes a promise from the Word and it makes it real for you and me, knowing that the battle's not ours, it's God's. Oh, man, that just makes it all worth a while. You know, the load's lifted, the care's gone, and the worries disappear when God tells us the battle's His. My victory, my joy, and yours doesn't depend on our abilities. Oh, thank you, Lord, on that. It's our response to God's ability, which is the greatest ability of all. God told them to march down against them. He told them where the enemy would be at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You won't even have to fight, he said. Oh, and here it comes. Are you ready? I love this, as Dave would say if he was here. Take up your positions. Don't just go hide somewhere. Take up your positions. Stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Whoo! That's exciting. If you're in a battle and all of a sudden you hear those words, go out because the Lord will be with you. That's got to get your fire started. Amen. You know, everybody here has probably got a microwave, right? And many, I would just wonder how many of you actually wait till the bell rings to say it's through? Or do you push that button right in the middle of it and say, oh, it's not coming, put it back in. Yeah, good patience, standing firm, yeah. No. It's because you want it now. Stand firm. Now, you got to remember, all these people, they knew the stories of old. They've heard it all their lives. You know, when they heard these words from the Lord through the prophet, King Jay and all the people bowed with their face to the ground. Oh, just started to worship. And here's what I like. Then some of those Levites, they stood up and began to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. And the word says with a very loud voice. It must have looked like one of my old Pentecostal hoedowns back home, but when everybody's just jumping up and shouting. You know, so many times we want to get in the battle and get to work. Oh, I got a problem. I got to fix it. Without much as a thought to worship God. Amen. For the blessings and victories that He will bring. You know, there's simply nothing, and I'll say it again, there is simply nothing more important than prayer, praise, and worship when you're getting ready to go into a battle. The man or woman who kneels before God can stand before anything, any problem they face. Let's look at verse 20 and 21. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. Now, as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you'll be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you'll be successful." And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Now, step one, again, seek God. Two was know the one you're seeking. Three was be humble. Four, believe the truth. Step five, continuing to trust. They had heard the word. Now they're trusting. Now it's time the next day. Are they going, oh, what are we going to do? No, continue to trust. Tomorrow's here. Excitement's in the air. The people are ready to go. Oh, King Jay, he's giving his pep talk. Have faith in the Lord, your God, and you'll be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you'll be successful. But then he goes one more step. He appoints singers to go ahead of the army. Ha ha! To praise God for the splendor of his holiness. King says, hey, I've got this young kid named Chris, you know, from the family tribe of Tomlin. Great writer. And he wrote this great song. I want you to sing it. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Wait, what? What? I'm wondering what these people have thought about this battle plan. You know, they know about trumpets blaring and drums beating. Jericho, remember that? You know they did. They've heard their stories all their life. But sending a choir to intimidate an army? Oh, it was early in the morning. You know, they were excited. They'd finished their coffee and the Egg McMuffins. They got that all behind them. They got their tanks lined up and their anti-aircraft guns. They're ready to fire. And they've even got their bazookas loaded. Oh, man, they're just set. And King Jay wants them to put a choir up front? Are you kidding? When's the last time you put your choir, namely yourself, up front in your battle to sing praises? Think about it. Bill had sent me a text saying he missed us and hope everything went good. And I said, well, I hope nobody's wearing sandals because I might step on some toes today. I see a few out there. So if it hurts too bad, I'm not sorry. Amen. Let's look at verse 22 through 24. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah. And they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. Now, after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Wow. When the choir began to sing and praise, the Lord set plans for victory in motion. Do you notice that? When the choir began to sing and praise. You know, it's in the wind that God does the miraculous work. Amen. We don't sit back and let him do it all. No, he's waiting on us to start. Praise infuses us with the energy of God, and it confuses the enemy. I'm thinking that when the Ammonites and Moabites heard Jehoshaphat's army coming with singing, they're thinking to themselves, man, these guys aren't afraid. They're out there having a good old time. Maybe it's because Judah got the Edomites, oh, sorry, suckers, to take Judah's side against us. So what do? The Ammonites and the Moabites thinking, we're not going to let them get the best of us. So they start fighting the Edomites and destroy them completely. Now you got the two armies left. So now they're thinking, maybe, this is me, they're thinking, this is the way I think, we killed, I wonder if we got the right army. Maybe it was the other one. So what do? And they're both thinking this. They turned on each other and started killing all over again. OMG, is God good or what? Something to think about. I wonder what those last two guys that were left were thinking, you know? They must have really been mad at each other to keep on fighting till they killed each other. I'd have run for the hills. It's just, hey, let's go, buddy. It's just us. No. No one escaped. God is good. Whew. Now, he's ready to move on your behalf in victory, but he's waiting on your praise. You know, that's why we sing and praise before the message each service. We're not up here for the glory for us. We're up here to enter in into God's presence, to get all that junk behind us. You know, we need God's help to destroy our inhibitions, our problems that we face just getting here. You know, trying to hurry up because maybe somebody watched TV too long Saturday night, couldn't quite get up early enough to get ready. I'm not saying nothing to y'all. Y'all know y'all wouldn't do that. Or maybe it's a disagreement you might have had on your way to church saying, where are we going to go eat afterwards? I want a hot dog. No, I want a steak. And here we go. Of course, I like the one, you're not going to wear that to church, are you? No, that's never happened. No, you got to put all that stuff behind you. Get into worship so you can put God on display. Amen. You got to remember, I'm sitting up here looking at you. I know what's going on. I'm not going to call any names. But this is the time that you offer your praise and worship to God so you can get a victory. Yes. You know, sadly, we secure our own defeat by our lack of praise. Did you ever take part in the worship? And then we wonder why, you know what, I really didn't get nothing out of that message today. But was you ready to receive it? You got to be ready or you're going to miss it. When Dave's up here talking and he's got even a little tidbit, if you miss it, I'm sorry, because that might have been the thing that turned your problem into that victory. So you got to prepare yourselves. When we get into worship, I mean, I enjoy doing this. Is it hard? Sometimes. But I enjoy it because I'm trying not to look at you too much, but yet I'm trying to make contact with you. But also it's just the thought, I'm playing and singing to God. Whew! It's just a good feeling. Hopefully you're not just going through the motions when you're here. Could be another song, huh? You know, if your problem is caused by the enemy, then praise the Lord for it. You know, it doesn't fit devil's grid of how we are to attack our problems. He can't figure that out when we're praising God for that problem. You know, when we attack problem God's way, we'll enjoy his provision. Confusion came into the camp of that enemy when Judas started singing praises. Not before. As they sang praises, they started to kill and went on. The enemy was so confused by hearing a choir and praising the Lord, they didn't know what was happening. You know, they became suspicious of each other and began to battle with each other and killed each other off. The enemy is always confounded when God's people praise him, especially in a place of difficulty or impossibility. The enemy just can't handle it. Verse 25. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. Here we go again, praising. This is why it's called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they had heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Last time, step one was to seek God. Two was to know the one you're seeking. Three, be humble. Four was to believe the truth. Five was continue to trust. And six, praise God no matter what. Praise God no matter what. You know, there's victory in your praise. The battle was over. The people gathered all the weapons, equipment, clothing, silver, gold, and jewels. You know, in those days, the armies, when they defeated somebody, they took all that stuff that they could wear and put it on so they could intimidate their next enemy they're coming. They must have looked like a bunch of Mr. T's coming down the road when they was marching down through there. A lot of bling on. You know, it was so much stuff that it took Jehoshaphat's army 3 days just to collect it all. There it is. That's the blessing in disguise I was telling about you earlier. You know, the same can happen for you. You won't be able to contain your blessings after your victory. Oh, glory. And on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Baraka and praised the Lord again. You know, it was on. We got this big party going. I can see fried chicken, potato salad, watermelon, and all the sweet tea you can drink. Man, it must have been something. By the way, I'm hope nobody's hungry here. They had an all-day camp meeting in the Valley of Baraka, which, by the way, means praise. You know, if the devil attacks you, then praise God. I know we all do that, right? And then you're going to find that the devil becomes God's messenger to bring your victory, your riches. That's what he did for them. When we praise him and embrace His promises and stand upon them, He always brings victory. Now, it might not be the victory in the way you wanted it, but it's going to be a victory. And when the victory comes, and it will, praise Him. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to praise Him. They all got back to the city. And then they went straight to the temple with the trumpets blowing and the harps harping and the lutes doing whatever it is lutes do. I don't know. But one thing they didn't do was to say, look what we've done. No. They were probably singing this song. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise His name. Each day He's just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Who to be able to say that? Because you're gonna get victory. My. You know, it must have been something for the rest of Judah to see that. This army coming in, a triumphant army, returning with all those spoils, and hearing how God had defeated one of the mightiest armies of the day. And the men of Judah never drew a single sword. How would you like not to draw a sword in your battle and get the victory? Amen? They did it here. There's no reason why we can't do it today. Because they started off right, praising God. What we got to do. All the surrounding kingdoms had heard what Jehoshaphat's God had done for them and had them shaking in their boots, or I guess sandals. I don't know if they had boots. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace and had rest on all sides. Peace and rest on all sides. Glory, glory, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. There was this painting in a museum. And it portrayed one way that the American Indians would hunt elk. Now, it shows a herd being driven into a river. Nearby were many canoes, each manned with warriors armed with spears. The purpose? Once in the water, the elk would be easy prey for the waiting warriors. Now, the Indians, they had approached from all sides, except the waterway, of course. Now, hemmed in, and they make a lot of noise. Now, hemmed in and scared to death by this noise, the elk wouldn't turn to face them. No. Instead, they would turn tail and run to the only open that they had, which in this case was a river. Though they were good swimmers, the elk were no match for the swift canoes and Indian warriors. Dozens could be speared in just a few minutes. Now, if you think about it, had these elk turned to face the noise, what they thought was their enemy, they likely would have forced their way through the lines with very few casualties. A bad choice cost the lives of many in the herd. Now, just like the elk, we often face the noise of our enemy. Amen? And just like the elk, our tendency is to run away from the problems that the enemy's hitting us with. You know, you can run from your problems. You've heard this all your life. But sooner or later, you're going to have to face them. Now is the time to face them. But this time, face them with God. Praise God. Because He's for you. Anybody here facing a dark time? Is there a formidable army headed your way? Is the old devil knocking on your door and you don't want to answer it? Then it's time to call upon the Lord, as Jehoshaphat did. Oh God, I don't know what to do. I've got bill collectors all over me. I don't have any food. What am I going to do? Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on You. I'm looking to You, God, for the answer. And I'm going to start praising You, Lord, because I don't have food, because I got bill collectors knocking at the door. My eyes are on You, Lord. So start praising God, because God is a God who hears and answers prayer. And I'll add this, He hears and answers praise because he does. So are you ready for some peace on all sides? You know, you're not alone in your battle. This is your time to face the enemy. And knowing you're going to praise God, this is your time for your victory in that battle. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, Lord, we come to you today thanking you for all things. And Lord, I pray for this people, Father, that this message would be one that not only touches their heart, but one that they can take and use to receive their victory. Because, Father, I know the battle's not ours, but it's yours, God. Lord, why can't we get that in our heads that the battle's yours? It's not ours. But yet we still back away from it. Yet we still fret about it. No, Lord, help us to remember as Jehoshaphat's army did to praise you for whatever situation comes our way, knowing that we're going to be better once we go through it. Let us remember to ask for your help and keep our eyes on you in all situations, not just the hard ones, but in every situation, God, that we would be able to remember that our eyes are on you and we're looking to you, and then to praise you for the problem, because you do good in all things. And we just give you praise and honor and glory today. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com. So I will lift up my heart.